Welcome to Croxley Green Baptist Church Sermon Podcast.
It is good to be with you this morning and to share something of God's word to you. So we decided to do it early to give us time to respond to this passage, because actually we felt this passage is a very spirit-filled passage, and we wanted to allow some time before we gather round the table to do that. Now, for those of you that were here last week, and for those of you that maybe weren't, this is a little recap, or at least this is what I got from what Dave was speaking about on the bit that comes immediately before this passage. And actually, the two kind of go hand in hand. You could almost argue that the bit that we've got today, these five verses, are kind of like the conclusion to the previous week. But we're focusing today on the spirit-led disciple kind of angle to this. So last week, Dave encouraged us to live as children of the light, children who follow the love of Christ, that we might imitate Christ and be filled with love and truth. And that from that kind of place of love, there should be a community of thanksgiving, offering our thanks to one another and to God, sharing together in acts of thanksgiving, such as what we're going to do today, the bread and the wine, communion. Is an act of thanksgiving for all that Christ has done for us. And so today we're going to kind of explore that and have a look at that. And I will be honest, I found it quite hard to know what to share today, because there is, in one sense, there's only five verses, but in another sense, there was so much in here, and it tied in so much to what was said last week. But I've come away with three things that I want to share with us today that I believe are the godly wisdom that this passage speaks about. The first is to be careful, the second is to be filled, and the third is to be thankful. And so this is where we're going today. Be careful. I love this picture. I don't think anyone would really want to pour their coffee like that, really. But it was a great image. When I started, Google's wonderful. You type in careful and these things pop up, random images. But anyway, this one here, the coffee perched on top of many coffee cups. Things, be careful. But the question is, be careful with what? What is this passage challenging us to be careful with? Well, I think in part, when you look at the big picture in the Bible, it's saying that we need to be careful with the time that we have, to use our time wisely. In the Psalms, it warns us, it says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Time is the most valuable thing that any of us have. It's so precious. It's more precious than money, more precious than possessions, because it is fleeting. You can't get back this morning. Once you've finished here at church, that's it. That hour is gone. You will never be able to relive this hour. Sorry, guys, that's just the way it is. Time is fleeting, and we only have one chance, one moment to use this time. God has given us time. And each of us have a different amount of time. We have to decide what to do with that time, how we are going to use it. How are we going to make the most of the time that God has given us, graciously given us? But it's not just about time that we need to be careful. We need to be careful with the opportunities that we have. In another letter that Paul wrote to the to the followers of the church in the early church, he said in Colossians, he said, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. As I was growing up, there was a film, I'm sure many of you probably will have seen it, called Dead Poets Society, a really powerful film with Robin Williams as the teacher in the class. And he challenges the young boys, it's a boarding school, that they need to, he uses this phrase, carpe diem, which is about the only Latin I can I know and remember. I've forgotten most of the plant names I learnt when I was studying horticulture. It's probably because I didn't really learn them in the first place. But this phrase stuck with me. Carpe diem means seize the day. Seize the day. Paul in this passage is saying that we must use the opportunities that God has given us for his kingdom. We must seize the opportunities, seize those moments that God has provided us with. But of course, not everything comes from God. Not everything that falls before us is necessarily from God. Therefore, we need to discern. We need wisdom to know what is right. We need to test those opportunities. And I'd like to suggest to you that a good test is to see, does this opportunity match up to the great commandment? Does it love God? Does it love my neighbour? And also, does it live up to the great commission about going out into the world to share the good news of Jesus? If the opportunities meet those tests, as it were, then they are, I would suggest, an opportunity that God is placing before you. The question is, you know, does it help spread the good news? Does it show love to those that need it most? Paul talks a lot about opportunities in his letters. In Galatians, he says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. Do good to all people. What opportunities are before each one of us? Now, the other day, I went out with Rachel to see Nish Kumar, a comedian at the Watford Coliseum. I don't recommend you go and watch him, actually, because he's quite rude. But I went to the Watford Coliseum, and although there was a lot in there that was very difficult to hear, the one thing that echoed through my mind as I left the Coliseum after I heard him speak was that he said at the end of his show, and actually throughout his show, he said, if only we were a little bit kinder to each other. If our world was only just a little bit kinder to one another, do you know what? It would be a better place. Now, he's not a Christian, I'm sure of that. But here he was saying, let's love our neighbours a little bit more. And as those words were echoing through my mind as I walked out with the crowds out of the Watford Coliseum and then down the underpass onto the Watford High Street to go and find the car, I saw two homeless men sheltering from the cold. Now, I'm sure there are lots of things I could have done, and I don't know totally if it was the right thing to do, but as I approached these two men, all I could hear was these words of this comedian saying, be kind to those that no one else will be kind to. Make the most of every opportunity to do good. So I said hello, and I spoke to them, and then I left them with what little change I had. Now, I know that there are lots of people that say you shouldn't give money to those on the streets. You shouldn't do that. But it was what was on my heart at that moment. And there have been times when I have walked by people like that. I've tried not to make eye contact with them. I've tried to cross over and avoid seeing them. Even the people that are collecting for charities outside the supermarkets, you know, conveniently now we're in a contactless society and they'd be like, oh, sorry, I haven't got any change. But our world is full of evil, full of brokenness, full of pain, and Paul pleads with us to make the most of every day, to make the most of every chance that comes our way, and to understand what God's will is and act for it. But we need to be seeking God. We need to be careful that we seek God in that, that we measure up what we are doing with those commandments, the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. Because the only thing that will defeat evil, the only thing that will challenge the bad that is in our world, is God himself. So if we seek him first in our decisions and then live them out, then we will start to see evil being defeated. The prophet Isaiah said, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. And Jesus himself said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Jesus is saying that we need to be careful that we are a spirit-centered people, not a self-centered people, but a spirit-centered people, that we should think about him more than we do ourselves. We are to be more spiritual, spiritually minded than worldly minded. In other words, if we set our minds on scripture, on prayer, on praising God, on serving God, then we will be prepared to do what he wants us to do. But we can only do that if we do this second part, which is to be filled with the Spirit. Now, the verse that we have in the passage that talks about that is, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, the commentators and commentaries spend a lot of time debating and arguing about the merits of alcohol and things like that. I'm not going to do that today because I want to focus on this idea of a spirit-centered life, one that is filled with God's Spirit and is not ruled by worldly pleasures. This passage refers to us being under the Holy Spirit's control, leading our thoughts, our lives, our actions, that they're entirely taken up with the things of God. But what does being filled with the Holy Spirit really look like? Well, I think it looks a little bit like this, and this might get messy, so I apologise. And I forgot my table as well, so you're going to have to bear with me. This is my vain attempt to make sure this works. So I've got a jug here, and I'm going to fill it. That was full earlier. Just go check. Is that full? Yes, no, maybe. Depends on your definition of full. I say it was actually slightly fuller. The rock arrangement obviously is slightly different, actually. So it's not quite full. But what I was trying to do is fill this with stone. And in a sense, this is full. But it's not completely full. Because this is going to get messy. Being filled with the Spirit is, in a way, like this. Our lives have so much space, so much capacity to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There is no end to what God can pour into our lives. Now, it's getting quite heavy, actually. Is that full? No, yes. Yeah. So you know where I'm going with this, don't you? Because, now I didn't test this earlier because I don't want to make a mess, so this could be interesting. Just thinking we've got communion in a bit, so. So I'm going to keep pouring this in. I might have to do it slowly. It's bubbling up. There is air in here because it is bubbling up. You can't see this. But that is bubbling up, and it's trickling down. Let's hold this up. And you might, God, it's really getting heavy now. I don't know if you can see the change in colour there, but the water is slowly making its way deeper and deeper into that sand. And if I kept going, slowly pouring this water in, I could fit a lot of water into this cup. I could fill it till it is overflowing. Being filled with the Spirit is like this, that we keep filling up with the Spirit of God, so much so that our whole lives are literally flooding with God's love. No matter how much we think we're full, God has room to put more inside us. I'm going to stop there, otherwise it's going to be a nightmare to clear up later. But you get the idea. Being filled with the Spirit, that is going to be really heavy. It is, actually. It's like this. Our lives are like this cup. We can fill it with all sorts of things. But when we fill it with God, when we fill it with His Holy Spirit, it is filled to the brim. It overflows with the love of God. It overflows so that we can share that with other people. Put that down. Being filled with the Spirit is only possible when we keep going back to God. You can't do it just by turning up on a Sunday and think, well, I can just get a little top up and that will be enough. Being filled with the Spirit requires us to go daily to God and ask for Him to fill us again, to fill us with His Spirit. And it's still filling up. The water level is going down at the top. There's still more room in that jug for more water. There's more room for God's Spirit in our lives. So we need to be filled with the Spirit of God, but we also need to be thankful. We need to be thankful because at the end of the day, that is what God has calling us to be. Speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, sing and make music from your heart to God, to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love this passage because it reminds me that you don't have to be able to sing songs to God He doesn't care whether you're in tune. He doesn't even care if you say the right words. What he cares about is that you are making music in your heart, that you are giving thanks in your heart. And if it's out of tune and the wrong words and not in time with anybody else, it might annoy the worship group a little bit. But do you know what? It doesn't matter. Because to God, it is a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's so easy, though, to be complaining people, to moan about things. But complaining is the enemy of thanksgiving. The two cannot coexist in the same heart. A grumbling spirit is not compatible with a spirit-filled life. If we really want to see change in our world, if we really want to see that spirit overflowing, then one of the things we can do is, as Christians, is to be thankful, to let that flow out through our everyday lives. I so often see things on Facebook and social media and all that kind of stuff, negative, knocking down comments, dissing this side or arguing against that, negative story, negative stuff. There's another comedian, Russell Howard. Again, I don't recommend you listen to him necessarily because his language is quite colourful, but he has a good news slot in his show every week. He brings good news. He brings something to say thank you for in his show. We need to be people who don't fill our lives with complaining and arguing. We don't fill our social media sites with complaining and arguing. We fill our lives with thanksgiving. Instead of grumbling, we are filled with gratitude. Instead of complaining, we are people of thanksgiving. God's plan was for us to be thankful. He wants us, he made us that way, to give thanks, so that not just so that we can draw closer to him, but so that each and every day we become more like him. The reason is that giving thanks brings us closer to God. When we recognize what God has done for us, it draws us closer to him. Psalm 100 declares, "I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. I will come to his courts with praise." Every time we say thank you to God for what he has done for us, we are drawing ourselves closer and closer to God. So I guess today my question to finish is, So today my question is this: will we make the best of what we have? Will we be careful? Will we be filled with the Spirit? And will we be thankful? Or will we just go away and be the same old person that we were before? The choice is ours to make. Of course, things are going to happen. Bad things, evil things are going to happen. We're going to see stuff in our world that we don't like, that we feel needs challenging. But it's our choice to make whether we're going to let those things rule our lives or whether we're going to allow the Spirit to fill us, to turn bitter or to turn better. What can we do to love God that little bit more? And you know what? In Hebrews it says this: let us boldly come to the throne of our gracious God. I love that. Let's boldly approach God now. Let's boldly come before his throne. Let us receive his mercy, that we will find the grace to help us when we need it most. When you find that challenge, when you find it difficult to be spirit-filled, boldly approach his throne, because he promises that his grace will help you when you need it most.